The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
Out!
Victory.
It tastes so good.
To go for it. Big to Gordon. Bridgewater, rifles, and it's connected. Tim Patrick with another chain-moving catch down to the 22-yard line. They pick up 15 on fourth down. Big to Gordon. Bridgewater to the goal line, and Patrick.
First game back after a year off. Gang moved in the what?
All my teammates, y'all know that, man. It feels better at work. You know, being out of football for a whole year, it drives you, man. And really, the whole purpose was to get back here with y'all, man. Sacks are good, but wins are better, man.
Von Miller. Three tackles, two sacks, three tackles for a loss, two quarterback hits. That is what I'm talking about. Total domination by Von Miller. You want to chalk up a game where Von Miller made a difference? Hello, this is one of them. That's what we're talking about. And we did predict that Nate Solder would have a rough time taking on Von. And he did. And Von did what he should have done. And then he did a sack dance near the end of the game, where if any of us mere mortals tried to do, we would pull all of our quads and hamstrings. Because you try walking on your knees like that.
While dancing, yes, yes. Welcome back, buddy. I mean, seriously, welcome back, Von Miller. It was great to see him out there doing his deal. It's been a long time. We've had question marks. You know, this is what we thought he was going to look like last year after training camp. And then, unfortunately, he got hurt right before the first week of the season. So we never got to see it materialize. So we've been going like a year and a half now without Von Miller. And for him to go out there, have a welcome back party like that, dude, it was awesome. I know that he had a mismatch against Nate, and we did predict that. You know, Nate was playing out of position, playing right tackle, and Nate's just not the same player that he once was. So it felt like that was going to be a great opportunity for Von. But D-Mac, I'm telling you, I don't care what right tackle was out there. The majority of right tackles in the NFL would have struggled big time against Von Miller this weekend. The speed that he got off with, the way that he forced Nate to open up his shoulders within his first kick or two, the way that he gave himself the two-way go, by using that speed rush, he's able to just use a tiny little pry on the inside shoulder, take the inside shoulder, get himself a sack. You know, Von, I'm not telling you that he's going to end up with 15, 16 sacks this year, but I do think that double-digit sacks is realistic.
What's your concern level about the fact they did scratch Bradley Chubb right before game time?
Yeah, hindsight, I'm glad they did it. Okay, I did think he was going to play in the game because the team told us that he was going to play the game. They tweeted, their own Twitter account tweeted like a week before the game that Bradley Chubb would be out there. Hindsight 2020, especially now that we won the game, it's like, okay, this is a long season. Bradley Chubb, it was rehabbing a late season surgery, and then he got injured on his other ankle. You go out there in the East Coast, play on turf for the first game of the season. Turf's just not easy on anybody. Why rush it, right? So now that we won the game, I feel like fantastic decision. What's my concern? I'm concerned. I'm very concerned with Bradley Chubb. You know, he's got so many injuries. They've just all added up. It feels like he's one bad play away from something bad happening at all times. But on the other end of the spectrum, I want to be as optimistic as possible, because when Bradley's been out there this year, the dude has terrorized people.
Yeah. Malik Reed did well. Jonathan Cooper got in the mix a little bit. How many plays did Jonathan Cooper play? Let me look that up real quick. By the way, while I look that up, hold on real quick. Do, 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 do. Cooper. Opa, where are you? Cooper played 17 plays. So, John, wow. Jonathan Cooper played more plays than Patrick Surtain. How about that?
Well, that part makes sense, though. You're playing a rotational spot without your starter.
No, I get it. Yeah. It's just like, if you told me that on draft night, I'd tell you you're crazy. Right, that's all. That's all
first
I'm saying
rounder.
There.
I got you.
Of course it makes sense. And Malik Reed did great. And the entire defense, just the front seven was, outstanding. You know, a drive here and there is going to get away from every defense. I don't care how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the NFL. There's the other team's got good guys, too. I mean, we should expect every offense against the Broncos to put together, you know, essentially be in scoring position at least, three times at the minimum. And the Giants certainly were there, too. So.
Well, and the way that Fangio has set up his defense, he really is a bend-but-don't-break type of play caller.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want teams to beat him over the top. He'll play with two high safeties a lot, and that's just who he is. So he's okay with giving up some yardage between the 20s, but then he really tries to buckle down once you get closer. Most of the time, we didn't have to worry about it because the Giants' offense was so bad. By the way, oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? Can you believe Daniel Jones? Of course I can. Right. But, I mean, how many times did we talk about it? Like, just get your hands anywhere near the ball with Daniel Jones, and that ball will pop out. He did it again.
It must be so frustrating for the Giants fans because you see the talent and potential with Daniel Jones.
Sort of.
And he scrambles, which is great. He picks yards up. You're in scoring position, and you fumble. It's ridiculous. Like, Albert O's fumble, it's not great. But the Daniel Jones fumble is, like, inexcusable.
It's just pathetic. It's just your mindset is not there. You're not there taking care of the ball. Like, that's all it is.
It is pathetic. Especially after all this, it's pathetic.
Like, how many times do you have to do it before you make an emphasis to yourself, I'm not going to allow this ball to get out of my hands anymore?
Who else they got there to play quarterback? Because this guy is just not going to be the guy.
I don't know.
I mean, it's obvious.
I honestly don't even really see the potential anymore. Like, I just see a guy that gets flustered. I see a guy that, he makes a few big plays here and there.
Yeah.
But when it really comes down to it, that dude just folds. He folds.
He does. Whatever. The Giants, we'll see them in 4 years. But I don't know. I don't see them making the playoffs again. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts are all of a sudden pretty good. Washington football team lost to the Chargers.
How about this? And how about them losing Ryan Fitzpatrick?
How about that?
So, what a bummer for him. It's not the entire year, but he has gone on the IR now. It sounds like it's going to be like a 6 to 8 week type of injury.
Yeah.
Washington football team now going to play a dude that a lot of the fans really love. Taylor Heineke went out there, played one game last year, but lit the world on fire. I guess they'll see what they got there.
Meanwhile, and we had Schefter on earlier, and he said Cam Newton is not in the pipeline there for Washington football team, despite Ron Rivera being the coach. Okay, fine. Do not be surprised, I guess, Tyler, for Jerry Jeudy to go on IR because you can come back.
I would expect him to.
You can open up a roster spot, and that would seem to time out well. But speaking of Vic Fangio, we've got to give the coach credit because it is September.
No more. I don't have to think about September anymore.
And he finally got the double. First of all, just let this file roll.
Obviously, facts are the facts. We've had bad starts here the last 2 years, record-wise, and to get off to a good start at 1-0, playing a good team on the road in a pretty good environment in favor of the home team, I think it speaks volumes about the team we have and what we possibly can do moving forward. But it definitely was big. You know, that would have been the story all week. Now you guys got to throw away those stories and write a new one.
Take that, D-back!
So that was last night. This is earlier today.
Well, I'm sure it's a relief for a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, there's much been said about it because it's true. But the approach will still be the same. We're going to grade, critique the game, learn from it, and then put all our focus, both mentally and physically, into the Jacksonville.
But how did he really feel about it?
Well, he almost said arms, legs, strength, trust.
Everybody enjoy this.
this win, and then after tomorrow, when you leave the building, we can get this thing to 2-0. You're going to see a stadium on fire when we get back.
Kind of looking ahead a little bit. Kind of be careful on that one. But hey, congratulations. You can tell, Tyler, how much this has been weighing on everybody around there, including Vic Fangio.
Oh, hell yeah. Shelby Harris talked about it. We know that they are well aware of the situation. And you know what else they're well aware of? They're well aware of their schedule and the beginning of their schedule. You know, we've got the Giants, and he just talked about Jacksonville. You know what? He did almost look past them a little bit. I'm not worried about it. I know that they'll dial in. I know that they'll take Jacksonville serious. But what that is that's Vic acknowledging the same thing that we've been acknowledging. There's one hell of an opportunity to be had there this year. You know, you've got the Giants, then you followed up with the Jags, then you've got the Jets, and it is like, look out. You know, you do what you need to do in the first two games of the season. You now are coming home. All right, look out. Now we've got an opportunity to make some noise. Good for them. Honestly, good for them. You got to win the games you're supposed to. They did. That's exactly what we wanted, and now the conversation feels different. Nobody's thinking about last year anymore. If you lost this game, if you lost it, you are. Yeah. A lot of people are thinking about last year.
Yeah.
But now it's gone. Now you've got a new team. You've got a new season.
Yeah, we'll dig into the Jaguars, obviously, later this week. But I did take a sneak peek at that game. We're fine.
Oh!
We're fine.
You and Vic, man. Holy cow. Vic feels the same way, apparently.
I haven't looked at the Jets-Carolina game. I know Christian had a great game, but I haven't looked at that yet. But I did. I'm really curious about Trevor Lawrence. Aren't you? A little bit? Aren't you a little bit?
Oh, of course.
About
absolutely.
Lawrence?
I was coaching flag football, so I didn't get to see the games before the Broncos.
That's okay.
But,
that's all right.
You know, I saw the Broncos, then saw the night
game.
Well,
how'd you do? Did you coach them up?
We did great. First practice of the year. I'll tell you what.
Killed it.
It was tough for me to figure out the playbook. There was a whole lot of misdirection going on.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, this coach. I mean, this is an offensive genius of flag football. I tell you what, I'm the assistant coach. Yeah.
What are your duties?
My duties are to try to not mess up what the head coach is doing, and I'm not doing a great job of that so far because my brain, there's just too much misdirection going on for my brain right now.
Do your job and quit making up.
Tyler, just come on.
I did promise them all. What do you think? I said something
about your stupid Super Bowl ring.
You're darn right. You're darn right it was. But what do you think the kids have to do in order to see the Super Bowl ring?
Show up on time. I mean, have fun, smile, laugh, you know, have a good time.
You kidding me?
Right. I don't know. Bury the opponents by 30. I mean, you know.
Win a championship and I'll show you a real championship ring.
Okay. There you go. See, I knew it'd be something with the ring.
I did. I promised them that.
So I'm not surprised.
You guys go win the championship this year.
Just not have fun, huh?
I'll bring in the real Super Bowl.
Not just for a hoot, just to make a great play.
We're not here to have a good time.
No, win the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they can see the ring.
Kind of life lessons you try to teach these kids, huh? No participation award.
I'll give you my down-low highlight of the game because there's so many great moments. But one of the things that I was so critical about the Broncos for is why are you going to draft a tight end in the first round who has all sorts of talent and not use him? Yesterday was absolutely spectacular for Noah Fant. 8 targets. How many catches? I think he had 6 catches. The yards weren't necessarily significant, but some big plays and just a focus on getting the ball. I'm looking it up. What we got? We got 8 targets for 6 catches, 62 yards with a long of 25. There you go. And, you know, you keep doing that. Trust me, there'll be touchdowns. There'll be Travis Kelce type of moments. It'll keep happening. But you've got to feed him. You've got to utilize him. That is, in my opinion, that is a perfect way to use Noah Fant. And on top of that, you got Albert O for 3 catches and an awesome touchdown on 4th down. The way they used their tight ends to me was like, finally, at last, you got guys that are this good, use them. I absolutely loved it. That was my favorite thing that I saw because you finally were utilizing the guys the way they were intentionally drafted to perform. I loved it.
Well, and what's cool about it is they went out there in these three tight end sets, and what's that's going to pay dividends. If you can get either of these two guys between Albert O and Noah Fant to just block at a respectable level, now we can get you both on the field with Saubert, and we've got three guys out there. It looks like a really heavy run-first personnel, and it is, but then you've got your shot plays that come off of it, and not only do you create a, like the biggest mismatch in all of the NFL right now are tight ends that are covered by linebackers like Josie Jewell. They just can't cover these tight ends. We've got a couple guys that can run now. We, between Albert O and Noah Fant, you get them both out there at the same time, and you can create multiple mismatches off of play action that should go for chunk yardage. It's a beautiful thing. They got them both involved. I like that Teddy didn't give up on Albert O. I like that he went back to him and he said, you know what? Hey, if you're open, I'm going to still throw you the ball. That's what he did with everybody, by the way. You know how many guys caught a ball in this pass or in this game?
I think it was nine.
Nine. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
nine guys spreading the ball around.
Well, let me give you a little X's and O's here. This setup and the way they ran three tight ends came at the expense of Andrew Beck, the fullback hybrid. X and O it for me. Why and what was different and why did they do what they did?
Well, I'm not sure why you even need Beck on this team, honestly, because I'm not sure what you're going to use him for, especially if he's going to be a game day inactive. Why are you carrying him?
I don't know.
I honestly would have rather carried just a true fullback if that's what it's going to be for, because why is he not out there? I can answer that one easily.
Okay.
What does he bring to the table over any of these three tight ends?
The only thing I would think of, well, I'm just guessing, he's a fullback, and in a fullback position, he's better equipped to do that.
Okay, you're right. That would be it, right? So if we're talking about a different position in fullback, you're right. But as far as tight end goes, he's not more athletic. He's not a better blocker. He's not better at any of it than those three guys. We've got three legitimate tight ends out there right now.
Yep.
So you look at it and you say, all right, well, when we get in short yardage, that's just not who we're going to be. We're just not going to be a fullback first team. We're going to probably put, I guess it would be Saubert or somebody like that back there, or maybe even bring in a big boy off the defensive line in short yardage and goal line, and you say, hey, give me the 340-pounder on the team, and you could go lead the way on the goal line. I don't know. All I know is that they don't care about the fullback spot. So if you don't care about that spot, Andrew Beck's not going to have much of a role this year.
So yesterday they ran that set 10 out of 66 plays, and they only ran that set something like 30-something times the entire year last year.
And just for the record, 10 out of 66 is a lot.
Okay.
Yes.
So this is a philosophical fundamental change. Big time.
Yeah.
Okay. So what does that mean?
Well, I like it. I know that it's good. I know it's what Teddy Bridgewater needs.
Why does it suit Teddy Bridgewater?
Because Teddy is not all too different from Drew Locke to the degree that you don't want Teddy throwing the ball 40, 50 times a game. And when you throw the ball, make it easy, you know, create chunk yardage, get those linebackers to step up. And if you run the ball well, you get in these heavy personnel situations. Well, that means, so if you put three tight ends on the field, that means that you can't put your nickel coverage out there. You got to put your heavy personnel out there, which what that means is that now you've got Noah Fant, you've got Albert O lined up against Josie Jewels and Alexander Johnson because they can't get them off the field, right?
The difference is, so I think I get it. The difference is it's sort of disguised because you do have to account for them blocking and running the ball. But here's a little trick up your sleeve. All three can catch, and two out of the three are actually extraordinary athletes.
Yeah.
That could just pop out and surprise you that you've still got to account for at the line.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
I love it.
Pretty good.
I love it.
Andrew Beck.
I don't think you'll see 10 to 12 plays per game with three tight ends on the field. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But you are going to see a commitment to two tight ends on the field, right? And,
okay.
And even if there's just a commitment to two tight ends on the field, that's a step in the right direction. My biggest concern with Pat Shurmur is can he fundamentally just stay committed to what is needed to be done to win? Because we know that he wants to go three wide eventually. Can he look at this and say, yep, this is sustainable and this is what I have to do moving forward?
But it's not a total giveaway like when Julius Thomas used to be out there because you knew he was useless as a blocker and that he would always be going out. And, you know, who cares about Julius Thomas anyways if you're the other team? Noah Fant and Alvador are getting good enough, better, and at least they're backed up by Saubert. I love it, by the way. And, you know, run to pass, they did throw the ball A little bit more.
What was
Tyler?
The total? Do you know?
35 to 26. Well, hold on. I'll get it for you exactly. Why should I be inaccurate? It was 28 rushing attempts to 36 passing attempts.
Okay.
Pretty good balance, right?
It sounds about right. I mean, you're always going to end up throwing the ball a little bit more, even in a perfect game. When you want a 50-50 balance, you're going to be off by three or four plays all the time.
Yeah, I mean, what more do you want from the offense? Especially because they hung in there. You felt good, even when Alberto fumbled it. It didn't amount to anything for the Giants. And then going for it on fourth and two at midfield, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe that.
Couldn't believe it.
More than anything, what felt so great and what felt so exciting about this game. Yeah, the fourth down stuff was fun. I liked it. That's a great aggressive philosophy that apparently we're going to have. Okay, if we're going to go down swinging. But what made me so excited was that Teddy proved so much in this game that it doesn't have to be boring. He doesn't have to be checked down. He doesn't have to be out there just being Mr. Perfect. And he's going to extend the plays. He's going to bounce around the pocket. Mm-hmm. He's going to make some crazy radical throws that sometimes you think maybe you shouldn't do that. And he did it. And maybe that comes back to bite him eventually. But if you're worried about having boring football this year, that was not boring football.
By the way, when we did study the Panthers last year, because we did that once Teddy was acquired here, we said when we looked at the games, hang on, he's going to go deep once or twice every game.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a setup. But he did this with Carolina and it connected on some. Of course it should have been a touchdown to KJ Hamler. I mean, KJ's got to catch that one, right?
Yeah, you know, I saw a lot of people online. I couldn't believe the amount of people that were still hating on Teddy Bridgewater on my timeline last night. Like, seriously, there were a lot of people that were still hating on Teddy. They just don't want to believe what their eyes told them, or they don't know what they're looking at. Oh. One of the two. But a lot of people were giving him some grief on that throw.
What?
Was it a perfect throw? No. I mean, yeah, could have he hit him perfectly in stride?
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, he could have, but give me a break. Anybody that's blaming Teddy Bridgewater on that one, the dude threw a, how far was that? 50?
55? Sure.
I mean, over that, and he put it like within a yard of the dude. I mean, come on. It was a fine. Was it perfect? No. It was totally fine, though. Easily catchable. 100% on KJ. Teddy had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And he's more than that throw. Listen, KJ should have caught it.
Just catch it.
Yeah, and KJ is really talented. He'll catch that 9 out of 10 times, 99 out of 100 times. I'm sure KJ is kicking himself. Flaming Teddy Bridgewater on that?
Oh, yeah.
Holy cow.
Dude, the amount of Teddy haters that are still out there, it blows my mind.
I mean, James Merrillat, seriously. All right, in terms of questions.
Hey, you said it.
James.
Were you following him? I mean, seriously, were you following him?
I saw him.
It's like, dude, like, grab the ladder. Stop digging. Grab the ladder.
I love James. I love James. But, dude, come on.
Enjoy the moment.
Yeah, and listen, you didn't have. Here's what I think people do misunderstand, and they perceive, oh, you're a Teddy Bridgewater hater. No. The issue is, if you're going to go with Teddy Bridgewater, which we're both fine with, then it would have made much more sense to draft a quarterback in the draft and just move on from Drew Locke. If you're going,
I'm not even getting hung up on that. Are you kidding me?
You play like that,
we got a quarterback.
Well, yeah, but this is before he played like that. Well, hold on. All right.
I mean, now you're going
all
over
right,
to James
on
me.
Hold
honestly,
on.
What drives me nuts about that?
No. You're going.
Do you know how hard it is to win in the NFL? It is so hard. And anybody that gets hung up in that world and wants to go live in the yesterday and live in what happened in the last 6 months, I don't care. You could go live there if you want to.
Tyler?
I know that winning's fun, and I'm going to enjoy that buzz for a few days. And if it continues, I'll enjoy it for a few weeks. And if I got to come back to reality in 6 weeks, I will. But not today. Not today. I'm not going down that negative alley. Not today.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not what I was saying, though, because the criticism is what you're planning for the future, not enjoying today.
I got it. But you're not enjoying today because you're worried about what they did previously.
No,
Just enjoy the day.
I'm not worried about anything. It's just philosophically makes no sense what they did. That's
exactly.
All. but you can reasonably say philosophically it doesn't make any sense and still
sure.
Enjoy today.
I know that I enjoy a victory buzz right. And I got a victory buzz right now and I don't care to go down that
road.
Okay,
fine. Because you just for some perspective here, there were people here at this radio station a while ago who were ready to give Trevor Siemian $50 million contracts.
That's not what I'm saying. Not even close
to what I'm
saying.
I know that's not what you're saying. But I'm telling you, that happened here before because everybody was caught up in the fact that, you know, that Simeon was winning right off the bat. And we had multiple hosts on this station. That's one of them. Who was just like wanting to give him the moon.
Bring me back to reality when you have to. For now, that was the best quarterback play that you've seen in 5 years from the Denver Broncos. And if you want to talk about anything other than how good of a performance it was, you're focused on the wrong thing.
Okay. Everybody's enjoying the game. Nobody's, you know, wrongly focused, but, you know what? I'll leave it there because I don't want to be James Merrillat and I don't want to be misperceived as somebody who's against Teddy because I'm not. I am thrilled with the win. We're yelling and screaming at home. We are hooting and hollering and I'm all for it. And I'm all for the whole year with Teddy Bridgewater and we'll deal with next year.
There you go.
We'll figure it out because we'll have to figure it out. But that's another topic for another day. Keep playing Andy Dalton, Matt Nagy. That's working out well. Mount Palumbus Speak. Mac Jones lost two. Mount Palumbus Speak comes up next. What's your question? 303-713-1043. This is Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
Mount Palumbus Peak is powered by 5280 Exteriors. I love this one because I know a lot of people were thinking it yesterday. Because, you know, it's an overreaction Monday. What would being an NFL fan be without overreacting on Monday? But I saw this a bunch, Tyler. So
it's
I'm glad.
Victory Monday, D-Mac. Look, don't take away from the Victory Monday when you got the victory, all right?
Well, wait for this one.
I'm not overreacting to you. It's Victory Monday.
Okay. Some people around the country are overreacting, perhaps. After Rodgers' blow-up, and I wish they would put their name on it. They didn't, but all right, 3550. After Rodgers' blow-up yesterday, would you pass on him next season and stick with Teddy?
Mount Palumbus, speak!
Well, D-Mac, it's funny you should ask, because after watching that Packers game and seeing what an abysmal mess Aaron Rodgers was, the first thing that entered my mind was, thank God we dodged that bullet of optimism that Mark Schlereth gave us on draft day. Can you imagine if we got stuck with that bum? Seriously, he's growing his hair out. He doesn't care about football.
Right.
He wears sandals when all the time.
Right.
I mean, he's practically, like, he looks like he's fresh off Pearl Street. Thank God Mark Schlereth was wrong, right?
Right.
First thing that entered my mind. Easy. Like, seriously, all you people talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, like, now I feel like Aaron. Relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. Are you kidding me? You think that Aaron Rodgers is going to play like that the rest of the season? Yeah, I get it. At some point, these guys will fall off a cliff. It's going to happen to Tom Brady. At some point, Tom Brady will fall off of a cliff.
You sure?
We've predicted it for about a decade. That point is yet to come, but at some point, he will fall off a cliff. Aaron Rodgers has not hit the cliff, and not even close has he come to hitting the cliff. It was a bad game.
Worst game
I can remember Aaron Rodgers playing, honestly, maybe ever. That might have been the worst game of his entire life.
15-28, buck 33, 2 interceptions, no touchdown, quarterback rating of 36.8, QBR of 13.5 out of 100.
Yeah, it was a hot mess. But if Aaron Rodgers is available in the offseason and we're sitting here with Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think, look, I'll give you two extremes, right? The extreme that Teddy Bridgewater were to continue playing like this every single week. That would be incredible. We don't have to worry about anything. You've got your dude. That's not going to happen. Teddy's going to have his ups and he's going to have his downs. He's Teddy Bridgewater. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play like that. So assuming reality where Aaron plays really good football and Teddy plays like Teddy, of course you would still love to have Aaron Rodgers. Of course.
Okay. Let me put a Mount Palumbus B question to you.
Please.
Put
some respect on it.
Give me a grade on Teddy Bridgewater yesterday.
A plus.
Okay.
I mean, was he literally perfect? And people, let me just answer that. Sorry. I know that's not your question, but people get hung up on that because they're like, oh, he had some bad plays. Yeah, I saw he hit a defender in the face. I saw he had a couple balls that were thrown behind the wide receiver by 2 or 3 feet. He had a couple bad throws, but big picture, that's an A-plus game.
I would give him an A-plus too.
Yeah.
I was thrilled with his game, and it could have even looked better if KJ catches that particular pass. Okay. How many A-plus games does it take for Teddy Bridgewater to perform
in
for you to say it is Ryan Tannehill 2.0? We do need to lock him up.
Wow. Oh. Now, just to clarify, you're saying in season?
Yep. Because if he gets to free agency and it's nothing but A-plus games, it could become a bidding war for Teddy Bridgewater, and you could lose him. You will save money and retain him, a much better chance if you do a deal during the season. The question is, how many A-plus games would it take?
I guess that the question is literally specific to giving him an extension in season.
Yeah.
Let's see. Week 9's the bye, is that right?
10.
10. Yep. Week 10's the bye.
Week 11, actually.
We'll play 10 games.
Yes.
Okay. 10. 10 out of 10 A-plus games in order for me to give him an extension.
Okay.
The bar would have to be insanely high because I know a lot about Teddy Bridgewater, and I don't expect him to play at that level all the time.
What does their record have to be in those 10 games?
I don't care about the record, actually, because the record could be misleading.
You
could win a lot of games, and Teddy's not playing like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could lose some games where Teddy plays like that, but it's still an A-plus performance.
Right.
So I'm going to go specifically on a Teddy Bridgewater grade, okay? And I really do think the bar has to be so high because my expectation is that at some point he will come back to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Reality is still pretty good football. It's still average football, but it's not like that. Like, that was elite football, right?
So that's one. That's one.
Yeah. So 9 more. That's what it would take. I mean, I'm not giving him an in-season extension.
I tell you
because
what.
Because even if you get to the offseason you need to sign him, like let's say he plays out of this world good.
Right.
You could always pay more than you want to.
Okay.
And that's not a problem. If you got to pay Teddy Bridgewater more than you had to by waiting to the end of the season, I'd rather do that than gamble too early.
You just run the risk that he Brock Osweiler's you. That's all. You just run that risk. Okay, because they did not do a deal with Brock during the season. A lot of people advocated that they should. They did not.
But what could you always do different than what you didn't do in the Brock situation? You could always pay the most. You did not pay Brock the most.
Well, that's for sure.
So if you're desperate and you want Teddy back, you can always pay the most.
What did we love about this week in our prop bets, which tell the tale of the game? Who did what? Who got what right? We'll find out next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey!
All right, let's...
All right!
We had a weird week about loving sports, meaning...
We love this game.
I was about to roll it up, and then Melvin Gordon was awesome. But when he went for a 77-yard touchdown instead of maybe like 4 or 5 carries on that drive, it swung the balance to Javonte Williams for a couple of garbage carries that they were tied at 11 carries. And then they did give the ball to Javonte Williams 3 times, and they're only 3 and out.
Yeah, you already lost the spirit of the bet no matter what. Stop whining.
But that was that one.
But
so,
we did love the game with the Broncos. Our show did love the game. We what did we put? 5 units on it? Huh?
Oh, yeah,
there
that's
you go.
Right.
We picked up 5 units. Good team win. Go team.
I picked them to win 27-18. You picked them to win 23-17, something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
Richie picked them to win. Kevin picked them to win. We all picked them to win, James Marilad. But here are some other the quirky ones.
James still hates Teddy.
Richie, and I don't remember who me and Tyler picked what, but... Oh, you got it? All right, cool. All right, Teddy...
I can't remember. How do you never remember anything? You never know what our bets are.
I am surprised at this point in our relationship that you're surprised that I don't remember
it
things.
It just drives me nuts that we can have such a passionate argument about something, and then the next day, you have no idea what side you were fighting for.
Yet, years
it's
later...
It's like your quarterback theory.
Years into this... You still are surprised that I don't remember things when I don't remember things all the time.
No, it's more than it still drives me nuts. Yes.
Well, I think that's a you problem, not a me problem. I think I'm the consistent one here. Teddy Bridgewater passing yards over under 246.5. He threw for 264. Who said what, Richie?
I said under.
You both said under.
If you can't, here we go again.
Yeah, don't be frustrated by it.
Yeah.
How many times do you think Teddy Bridgewater throws for 264?
Wait, what was this? 264?
Yeah. So that was on...
Okay, that's a good question.
Well, that's why I checked down Teddy right
there. I'm going to give it 7 games. So 264 or more, right? Mm-hmm. I will say 7 games he does that.
Okay. I just want to check one thing real quick. Yeah, 6.3. Oh, wait, sorry. 7.3 yards per passing attempt. Pretty low amount of, that's, you know. Now, it would have been much different had KJ Hamler caught that pass, which he should have.
Oh, yeah, what a. What was that, about 55, 60 yard or something like that?
I'd say 7.3 is probably what we're going to see out of Teddy for the whole year, Tyler. That feels about right. You know, I think he's going to be right around this number.
It was a good number. I mean, it was a good over-under. Yeah. I think Richie hit the nail on the head. It was really, really close. He went over. Good for him.
Longest completion. Again, this should have been the KJ Hamler one that we said, you know, or Jerry Jeudy gets the ball, but it goes 25 yards to Fant. The over-under was 36.5. I know I said over on this one. I do remember
that. I said
that.
Over as well because I said that Jerry Jeudy was going to catch a 12-yard slant and take it to the house.
Okay.
All right, how we doing, Richie?
You're both correct. You said over.
Okay, Melvin Gordon rushing yards. Well, this blew it out of the water. The over-under was 49.5. He ran for 101 with a 70-yard long one for the touchdown.
So, man, he would have been under if it weren't for that.
He would have been. I think I took the over on that because I'd done the math on it, and I thought he'd average 3.6 per, and he would have 16 attempts. He had 11 attempts at 9.2. So I think I got that one. Were you under on that one?
I took the under. Yes.
Yes. D-Mac took the over. You took the under. And yeah, D-Mac, you said he would have 16 carries at 3.4 yards.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, so far I'm pretty smart about football at this point.
Except for the Javonte Williams deal. That, well, like, you can, like, if you can see the writing on the wall on that one,
yeah,
goodness gracious.
And I got the 3 and outs.
Like, hindsight 2020, do you feel like any regrets in regards to that one?
No, but...
No.
You got it.
You sure?
Why don't you just be a little humble like Teddy Bridgewater?
Humble? What's that?
Be a little humble. Learn from Teddy.
I don't know what that is.
No, you're sitting over here cinching backpacks like Drew. I'm telling you to be a little bit more humble.
Secure the bag, bro.
Combined sacks from Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. I just said the injury was good. I thought they would get sacks. So I said under, not as a team, but under. I think you said over.
I said over. I did.
But you didn't even know Bradley Chubb was not going to play.
Correct.
None of us did. Is that right, Richie?
That is correct. D-Max said under. Tyler said over.
You know what?
So how many sacks did we have total, though?
2.
That was just Vaughn? That was it?
That was it. But we had 5 TFLs.
Okay.
So, which is kind of a sack. I mean, sort of. I mean, it was a great day by the defense. And Vaughn had... Vaughn balled out, man. He had 2 sacks and 3 TFLs.
Hey, so for the future,
gee whiz,
we should probably have a coffee on all of this because you would be winning a coffee right now if you had a coffee.
Well,
on
I'm
all
happy
this.
To do that. No doubt about it.
For the future.
And then the listener special, in terms of 3 and outs, you had no faith in the Broncos. You thought they would have a million 3 and outs. I'd say they wouldn't even have, well, they wouldn't have more than 3.5, and they only had 1. And that 1 3-and-out was like when they, you know, at the end of the game, when it just really didn't matter and they were just trying to kill some time.
You know, that was amazing to me. Not just the fact that they didn't have I'm not even counting that last one where they went three and out. Like, so in my opinion, they didn't have any real three and outs in this game. But that they only had eight possessions, that's amazing. I mean, that's ball control. That's taking care of the clock. That's doing what you said you were going to do. And those are long, sustained possessions.
All right, Richie, how do we do on it? Were we missing anything? We got everything there? Or,
Well, we did have the bonus one about how many timeouts
Fangio
would use in the game, over under 4.5, and it was actually way under. He only used 2.
He used 2 timeouts. Oh, by the way, on that score, how about Joe Judge not knowing the rules for when to throw a challenge flag?
It's just panicked. That's not smart. That's bad ball right there. That's like something that we would see Vic Fangio do last year, right?
I actually saw a coach, gosh darn it, I forget the game.
I think Andy Reid did that 2 years ago also.
Well, check this out. I saw a game this weekend, and I think it was the Rams game last night. I could be wrong, though, because I'm wrong often. But I saw this moment. I saw this moment in a game. The head coach, at the 2-minute warning, gave his red flag to an assistant so he wouldn't accidentally throw the flag, because you can't throw
smart.
It in that circumstance either.
You know, I think that's
how about
smart.
That?
You know, I don't blame these coaches. They get caught up in a moment like that where you've just got pure emotion. You're like, come on, are you kidding me?
Right.
There's no way that was in. You toss the flag out there in anger. Should you do it? No, you should know the
rules.
But
that is a bonehead play by a
bonehead
coach.
Bonehead, because it costs you a timeout.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't matter essentially in the game, but we would have killed.
Oh, yeah.
Judge deserves to be killed on New York radio
not
for that.
Killed, like murdered, but like yeah, we should harass him. Yeah.
No, we wouldn't literally kill somebody. But thank you for pointing that out, Tyler.
The way you said it, it just
and knowing my history, I may go literally.
I don't know how many people you've murdered.
I've murdered.
I don't. I have no idea how many people you've murdered.
Top 6 is next.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents
six.
The Drive with the Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
Time to do some game ball.
I got a game ball here. Teddy Bridgewater.
You know, is it just me? That's a rip-off Stinkin' Mark. Same person, Stinkin' Mike. Or, did they not do game balls over the past couple of years right after? I seem to remember, like, Drew Locke playing well and, like, not getting a game ball, and we're like...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd be shocked if you're right.
Oh, all right.
Every team does game balls, but...
Drew did get Houston. Okay. All right, anyways. That wasn't even my point. My point was of something positive, definitely positive about Teddy Bridgewater. My question is, how sustainable, we all agree what a great performance it was, how sustainable do you think that performance is for Teddy?
You know, D-Mac, what you saw yesterday was an elite quarterback performance. Is that sustainable? Probably not. I mean, I don't expect Teddy to go out there. What made that performance so special was all the off-schedule throws. How many times did he bounce around the pocket, give a stiff arm to somebody, run out to the right, and scramble around, find somebody on the run? I don't expect Teddy to be doing that stuff week in, week out. So, no, I mean, if the bar is being elite, I would expect you get 3 or 4 games total all year long at that level. But if the bar is average or above average, let's call it even above average, you should get that 13 out of your 17 games.
Sounds pretty good. I think there's 10 wins if you get that 13 out of 17.
Like not that level, but just above average, right? Yeah.
You got a shot. Ring it, Kevin.
Outside of Teddy Bridgewater, give me your biggest surprise in a positive manner out of that game.
The getting the ball to Noah Fant, because we weren't sure about his knee. We weren't sure how he was doing. He barely was a factor during training camp or preseason. That was awesome. 8 targets, 6 hits. And just using him the way he should be. I thought that was spectacular, and I know he's going to be on with the Zoakley shows on Tuesdays, I believe, Richie, at 12:30. How about that? Nail on that. So look forward to hearing Noah all season with the boys around 12:30. Noah Fant to me. You?
Okay, I love it. Do you know who the NFL's current active career sack leader is?
Current active. I know yes. Vaughn got into the top 25.
Is well, it, you is said it, his name, Vaughn. Vaughn is the NFL's current, active okay. career sack leader
so
right now.
So the 24 people in front of him are all done. They're not playing in the NFL. How's that for
supply? According to the note I'm reading right now on NFL.com, Vaughn okay. is the active career sack leader.
Awesome.
My biggest surprise in a positive manner was Vaughn Miller is back. Like, that dude was out
there.
Were you concerned
about that? I didn't
know what to expect.
Okay.
It's been a long time since we've seen Vaughn Miller.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah,
in this preseason, we didn't really see anything. Like, he unleashed for a series or two in the third preseason game. Mm-hmm. That's it. He hadn't unleashed in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
But I know that what I saw was a dude that would have gotten two sacks on a lot of tackles in the NFL. Yeah, he had a mismatch going up against Nate. And then his other sack, by the way, he went unblocked, and Nate was out of the game by then. It was the backup, I think it was Matt Pert, or
yep,
I forget
yep,
his name.
That's,
Matt Pert.
That's him.
Okay.
Yep.
He went unblocked on the second one. But the point is, Vaughn would have given a lot of tackles in the NFL hell yesterday, and it was great to see him back.
Ringing Kevin. Jerry Jeudy out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Your concern level is?
Oh, man, real high. I hope my eyes are wrong. They could be wrong. What my eyes saw looked pretty devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had high ankle sprains, and they suck. Like, honestly, one of the worst injuries you can get at the beginning of a season, because it will never go away. Just ever. I don't know the severity of it. And I don't know how high it is, if it's a mid sprain, if it's a low sprain, if it's a high sprain. I know they're calling it a high sprain, but there's different degrees of that.
Yeah.
And so if it goes way up into the calf, that's something he's going to be dealing with for the remainder of the season. I hope that I'm wrong, but D-Mac, I got really, really big concerns about it.
All right, ring it, Kevin.
What did you think about Vic Fangio electing to go for it three times on fourth down?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, yeah, go ahead. Do you think of it, and which one surprised you the most?
The one that surprised me the most, actually, was the fourth and two at the 50-yard line with about 40 seconds to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowing that you were going to get the ball back to start the second half, being down 7-3 at the time. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. You punt it, you get inside the 10-yard line, and, you know, the Giants probably just sit on it. You get the ball back and, you know, you take your chances. But I love it. I think you should almost go for it in every single situation, basically between your own 45 and your opponent's 40, that 15-yard span, in almost every situation, because your opponent still has to convert, like, two first downs-ish to be in field goal position. And you've got a good defense.
Yeah.
Listen, most teams wouldn't do it. Vic wouldn't do it. That one surprised me the most, but I loved every single one of them. And I love the fact you went for it instead of just kicking a field goal when you know, you could have. And by the way, you did kick a field goal, like, on fourth and four or
yeah.
whatever later on.
Yeah.
So to me, I thought every part of managing the game was fantastic. And the biggest surprise I saw on special teams is there were no surprises. Special teams was fantastic. You
know, by far the biggest surprise was the fourth and two from the 48-yard line with 46 seconds to go. That was one hell of a gamble. Dude, I don't think I would have done it. And I like to think that I would coach very aggressively. I like to think that if I was going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. But at that moment, you get the ball coming back in the second half. And if you don't get it, you just handed your opponents 3 points at a minimum, maybe worse than that. It was shocking to me, but what I love about it is you could tell that Vic Fangio has got an approach that isn't necessarily different from who he was last year, but he's got a quarterback that he believes in that's allowing him to be more aggressive, and that's what I love about it.
Ray and Kevin. I think we're both surprised that Bradley Chubb didn't play. One, it was kind of promoted he would. Two, when I was out there on Friday, he was participating in drills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, I heard a report. He was not really active, or he was kind of limping around in practice. I had the same exact vantage point as every single other person there. I told you about the garage doors going
yeah,
up
yeah.
and down. He was at the end of the building. I don't know what eagle eye person is out there.
Were you in the front row or the back row?
Dude, I was in the front row.
I'm just worried if you could see over or not.
I don't have a choice.
So sometimes I really do think, shockingly, local media just makes crap up.
Wow, look at that. Now there's a hot take of the day.
Let me tell you this. There was no difference with my own two little eyes about Bradley Chubb moving around compared to everybody else on the very limited time that we could watch. So I was surprised that he didn't play.
Okay, so the media is
all lying. Well, they're not all lying, but somebody's making something up.
I love it.
That being said...
I was surprised too, man.
How concerned are you? I'll go with the concern question again about Bradley Chubb.
Very concerned about his overall health status. I like the hindsight 2020. I'm super glad he didn't play. We won the stinking football game, right? So why put him out there at the beginning of the year when he's banged up and, you know, potentially cost yourself something down the road? We won the game, so it's fantastic that he didn't play. I also think it was the right decision. Just big picture, good call. You got a dude that had a very late in the offseason surgery, which I hate. I don't know why they didn't just have the surgery after the end of the year last year. You should always do that, but they didn't. And now he's banged up on the other ankle. He's got a lot going on. And D-Mac, the good news, it's good news, bad news situation with Bradley Chubb. Good news is when he's been out there, he has been terrorizing folks. He has looked fantastic. But the bad news is he does feel like he's one bad play away at any moment.
Ray and Kevin.
Dude, how about this? We'll see what happens here tonight. Raiders are about to kick off with the Ravens. But AFC West at this point, undefeated. Won all their games.
Yeah.
Chiefs kind of backdoored into victory a little bit. It certainly wasn't dominating.
Well, they're down 22-10, yeah.
Yep. Chargers looked good to me, and Broncos looked good to me. Is AFC West maybe better than what we were giving it credit for? Well, it's only 1 week. I get it.
I don't think so. I think everybody has the Chiefs going 13-4, 14-3, something like that. I think everybody, you know, the most common picks are the Chargers are right up there and the Broncos are an 8-9-9-8 team. So, no, this kind of plays into the picture. What would be surprising is if the Raiders win tonight. Now, it is a home game in the Death Star, and that place looks amazing, by the way. So, I don't know. Time will tell. You know what? Ring it and wrap it up because we can go right into the game here. But tonight will be an interesting test. We've seen a lot of upsets. We've seen some teams struggle. Man, we got to do a roadie to Vegas for Broncos Raiders.
Yeah, ideally.
Once a year.
Ideally, it doesn't even come the day after Christmas.
I know.
I prefer that. I'll consider it. No, I can't even consider it. Nope, I thought about it. Can't do it. Can't go day after Vegas. Day after Christmas. Can't go to Vegas then.
Yeah, come on.
I thought about it. Can't do it. Mm-mm,
the kids are tuckered out.
It's not about the kids.
Five or six o'clock at night.
You know, it's the birth of the Savior and, like, just stuff. It's like, that's a lot. That's a lot to add in on Christmas,
you know?
What
about going the next morning?
Yeah.
Black Friday. Not Black Friday. No, that's after Thanksgiving.
You know, it's still just too quick.
Saturday.
Yeah.
We would always be skiing the day after Christmas. We would always ski.
We do.
You guys didn't ski on Christmas? You guys never, when growing up, you never skied on Christmas?
Never, no.
You guys never went up to the mountains for Christmas?
No.
Oh, goodness, man. No.
We did go on a cruise one time on Christmas, and that was, like, the entire extended family went on a cruise.
Dude, Christmas in Colorado in the mountains is pretty
tight. Oh, no, I spent Christmas in the mountains, sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
But I've never skied on Christmas.
Oh, you would go up and be in the mountains on Christmas and you guys just wouldn't ski that day?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right.
Christmas is family, buddy.
We would spend the whole day with the family.
You'd go on different runs. You'd avoid them.
I don't know about that, but it was such a great, I mean, I did this when I was a kid too. That was just such a big, we've done it a handful of times here. I love it, man.
Oh, I'm sure it's great.
Colorado Christmas with the, all right, anyways.
No, I don't go skiing on Christmas. And yes, I'm from Colorado. Yes, I ski every year. I ski a lot. I don't go on Christmas.
I'm telling.
Christmas is Christmas.
I get it, but like, you can do everything and still, you know, 10 o'clock, be on the lift.
Christmas is Christmas.
To me, that is Christmas.
I got it.
Let me tell you.
You want to go to Vegas, too. I get it.
The slopes are wide open.
I'm sure they are.
All right, anyways, who you got tonight? Talk to me about what you got tonight.
You know, I took the Raiders, or excuse me, I took the Ravens, and I am in the lead, by the way, in the pick'em this week. So all I need to happen is I need the Ravens to win. I got a couple people that are at 9, including you, although you've got very questionable behavior going on right now.
Yeah, I told you.
You've got two accounts.
Yeah, listen, not on purpose.
Two accounts.
Did I give everybody fair warning?
No, but which one counts? Like, which one is the real one?
You tell me.
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know either.
Give me some integrity. Give me some honesty. I don't know. So allegedly you're behind by one, but you've got two accounts going on.
There's no integrity and honesty when I warned everybody what an issue has been with me with Pick'em for years. No, and everybody rolls their eyes.
We've got an issue. Like, we've got a team bet going on against the Zoakley show. Like, I need you to dial this in before they figure out about this issue.
I don't know. Go with the one that has the better one, which is I
but you're only one behind me.
Don't even worry about me, because you'll just yell at me. Coffee on me tomorrow? Is it me or you?
Tomorrow's me, then you owe me two after that.
All right. Look at the Death Star. They got a DJ. They got a band. All right.
It's Aoki. Come on.
This looks great. All right. The Ravens and the Raiders right now on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.